This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
The man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com or calling us on the Q line.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Standing boldly and firmly on God's truth and love in His written Word. Good morning, I'm Mike LeMay, your watchman on the wall.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. It's a radio talk show where we stop everything for about an hour every day, and we just talk about some of the movements in the church, some news of the day. We talk about some of the things that you might not have heard of on mainstream radio or television, but you know what we do? We always ask you to do one thing. It doesn't matter what you hear on the blogs or in podcasts or best-selling book authors. What matters is what God has to say. So let's make sure that we look at everything with open eyes and open Bibles.
So whatever you hear this hour from Amy, I, or our guests, do take it to Scripture, because that must be the absolute thing that we use to gauge truth, God's written Word.
Amen. You know, today we're talking about a movement. We're talking about something that, you're going to hear more and more about. Right, Mike? I mean, it's something that we're diving into. So.
Yeah, last week we talked about the Hebrew Roots movement a little bit, and it's inspired a lot of talk around how we view our Christian heritage, the Old Testament law, and what grafting means to Christians. Mm-hmm. Now, today there's another movement that has to do with anti-Semitism, unfortunately. Did you know that global hatred of the Jewish people is even more venomous today than it was during the Hitler regime?
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it is hard to believe, but even some in the body of Christ feel this way, and it's manifesting itself in the church in something called replacement theology, which is the view that Christianity has replaced Israel as the apple of God's eye. Now, that's a powerful movement sweeping through many denominations, which states that the church is the new Israel. It brings us to the movement we're talking about today, and it's called Christian Palestinianism. Now, this political religious campaign is gaining wide acceptance among church leaders, denominations, charities, missions, and humanitarian groups. And if you think we're talking about left-wing or right-wing, actually, it's both. Joining us to talk about Christian Palestinianism is our special guest, Carol Matriciana. She's a well-known expert on ancient and modern world religions, contemporary cults, paganism, and you may know her. She's a best-selling author, journalist, and researcher of those Wide is the Gate DVDs, and she's preparing Christian Palestinianism as one of her topics for this newest Wide is the Gate DVD coming out in a few weeks. Carol Matriciana, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Well, good morning, Amy and Mike, and thank you so much for inviting me to be your guest on this vital topic.
Oh, it's great to have you, Carol. And by the way, folks, Carol has already jabbed us and told us it's going to probably be like 82 and sunshine out there, and we've got a foot of snow, but we love you anyway, Carol. Hey, Carol, this new DVD series about Christian Palestinianism is going to be very, very powerful. And you talk about, sadly, a growing number of churches seem to be siding against Israel. Now, help us set the scene for us a little bit. Let's start off talking about the difference between Christian Palestinianism and what's come to be known as Christian Zionism.
Yes, and it's very confusing because, you know, there are honestly estimated tens of millions of individual Christians around the world who love Israel, who support the Jewish state. And, you know, it's something that's in our hearts because it's the apple of God's eye. I mean, it's the only nation in the world, Israel is the only nation in the world that God really loved, set up, said that he would do something with in the end times. It wasn't India, isn't Africa, isn't America. It's Israel, you know. And so this is a very, very important part of God's prophecies past and prophecies yet to be fulfilled. But there are many, many in mainline Protestant churches today that have been actively involved in boycotting Israel, which seems extraordinary, but they are encouraging what's called pro-Palestinian activism. And many of these churches are demanding that Western governments stop sending aid to Jerusalem. Now, in where I grew up in Europe, in England, I mean, since the forming of Israel in 1948, and after Israel started irrigating the deserts and, you know, which bloomed with incredible produce, fruit trees, vegetables, flowers. Israel became the daily sender of fresh cut flowers and food and vegetables to Europe. I mean, it's been doing it for years. I remember growing up as a child where we were able to have strawberries in the middle of winter in our supermarkets because they came from Israel. So for Christians to start boycotting Israel and not allowing supermarkets to carry Israeli goods or all that sort of thing, I mean, it's a huge movement. But it's interesting because Christian Palestinianism, people just think of, I mean, in Palestine there are hundreds and thousands of Arabs, just as there are Jews, you know, but a lot of those Arabs are either Muslims or a lot of those Arabs are Christians. So we've got Eastern Orthodox Christianity and mainline Protestant churches that Arabs also belong to, Roman Catholicism, etc., etc. So these are the ones that are being targeted, in a sense, who are so angry at the Jews having a nation that a lot of political activism, if you will, from Muslims and from anti, those that do not want nation to exist today, which sadly are in the Christian church, are coming over to a pro-Muslim side but fueling the Arab Christians with hatred towards evangelical Christians or Bible-believing Christians that say that there is a place for the nation of Israel. So there's a very interesting sort of politicized movement that seeks to eliminate Christian support for Israel and transfer it to Palestinian nationalists. So it gets very confusing, but all of that is quite different to this, to what we would call biblical Christian Zionism, where, and in a way, Christian Palestinianism is a sense, it's an inverted image, if you will, of Christian Zionism. A Christian Zionist would believe that the Lord has not replaced Israel with the church, that Israel is still the apple of God's eye, that God loves Israel with an everlasting love, as we read in Jeremiah, that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and all sorts of other wonderful promises. We're told in Zechariah that God has a jealousy for Zion. He's burning with a jealousy. So Zion represents the land of Israel. Zion represents the Jewish people. Zion represents Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. And, you know, a Christian Zionist isn't necessarily in politics. They're not interested in politics. But what the Bible says about Zion, what the Bible says about the Jews, about the land of Israel, etc., etc. So I suppose summing up that a Christian Zionist takes the Bible literally, that God means what he says, that throughout the Bible we read that God has this everlasting covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants, and that God has given the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, what the world today calls Palestine, that God has given this as an everlasting possession to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. So, in other words, the Jewish people have, by God's standards, do have a right to the land, and God is a covenant-keeping God, and he won't change his mind. So the problem, then, is that you've got Arabs or Muslims, Arab Muslims and Arab Christians, who live in Palestine, who are offended by the Jews having a nation there, because within Islam it's believed that when anything is taken for Allah, as Jerusalem and Israel at one point in history did belong to the Turks, they feel that Allah owns it, even though political people have ousted them, so to speak. So, you know, when Palestine was given to the Jews, there was an opportunity for Arabs also to make it a nation. So both sides, both Arabs and Israels, could have a nation in Palestine, but the Arabs refused to have a nation there because they would not be in a land where Jews lived, because at the very heart of the Muslim faith is a total hatred for the Jews, and for the Christians. But sadly, this type of thinking, this anti-Semitic thinking, has come into the church. So it's very confusing. It's not easy. It's, you know, there's gray lines there.
There is. And Carol, we're seeing this movement, this Christian Palestinianism, manifest in both the left-wing and the right-wing organizations and in churches and belief systems. So let's start with the left side of things. Explain what's happening in progressive Christianity with this movement, and then we'll move on to the right.
Yeah, I think really that question, I mean, we did start touching on it in volume two of Wide is the Gate to show the leanings of the liberal left in the evangelical church, and realize now that even the name evangelical has changed. At one time, evangelicals were those that went out and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but now we have that term that emergent teachers claim. I mean, Brian McLaren, the head of the emergent church, or the grandfather of the emergent church, claims he's an evangelical. Rick Warren of the Baptist Church claims he's an evangelical, yet they are spreading or supporting dominion theology, the idea that we have to clean up the earth, look after the poor, the sick, the uneducated, and prepare God's kingdom before Jesus Christ can return. So this kind of Reconstructionism, if you will, the idea of reconstructing society, reconstructing nations to Christianize them, is part of replacement theology and goes to the left in an interesting political way because it's a liberal movement, if you will. It's come into the church through the emergent church, through sort of mainstream emergent thinking. And it's hard even, Amy, to say, you know, can we differentiate between left and right? Because everything's merging together so much, and we have to understand that by getting into the bigger picture, which is that the Bible tells us there's going to be a unifying, a oneness, a coming together, a global world religion, a global politics, global finances. So when you realize this, while we fundamental Bible believers are trying to do what God told us to do, which is to be separate from the world, to come out from the world, not to blend and merge with their politics or their spirituality, we then are considered to be extremists, or we're not campaigning for, let's say, unity and peace, which is what the liberal Christians would say, that, you know, let's have peace and security and safety, let's work with Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, regardless of whether they love the Lord Jesus Christ or believe in the cross, let's all work for peace. So when peace becomes the idol, then a compromise sets in as well. And that can also be seen on the right, where you've got new movements like let's say the new apostolic reformation and prophetic movements, which are strongly influencing charismatic Pentecostal churches at the moment. Now, they also want to sort of Christianize the world, if you will, for Christ's return, and believe in cleaning up nations, bringing nations into a new generation, a new Christianity, and blending in a lot of mystical thinking, a lot of Gnostic thinking, a lot of what you probably talked about last week in your Jewish roots movement, trying to get us back to mysticism shrouded in the Old Testament, let's say, or secret messages or codes or whatever they are, because this is the message of God. But it really isn't. I mean, anything intended for the nation of Israel is very obviously for the nation of Israel. And if we take the Bible literally, then we see that God, in a sense, did away with the law for a moment so that we pagans, Gentiles, heathens can be grafted in to the promises that were given to the Jews, that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ, but we don't that doesn't automatically eliminate what God still has for the nation of Israel in the future.
Very interesting, Carol. I want to run with that point a minute because, you know, we know there will be this global effort to unify all mankind. There will be a fault. There will be an Antichrist, of course, and his false prophet. And I want to make sure I kind of heard what you said there. So we have the left, the McLarens of the world. We have the right, the Bill Johnsons of the world, the Seven Mountains. Do you see these two entities, although you can look at them and say they're somewhat diametrically opposed, but they're both kind of headed towards that one world religion and order?
I know, Mike. It sounds beyond our comprehension. But, you know, God is a God of very straight lines. And in Isaiah 20, he has that absolutely wonderful promise in, Isaiah 5, in verse 20, he has that promise, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So apparently we have a tendency to redefine what God says is good, and we redefine it in our kind of human ways to make it more encompassing, more tolerant, more embracing. I'll give you a perfect example. Look at yoga. Yoga is absolutely, without a doubt, based within Hinduism. There is no yoga without Hinduism, no Hinduism without yoga. I went to India a few years ago to make a movie on yoga because there are Christians that say we can practice the exercises, the sort of physical side of yoga, without the spiritual side, and that it can all be embraced and it can be redeemed, and that yoga can be used for God. Well, when you get to the very concept of yoga, the Sanskrit word yoga means to yoke, to come together with a God consciousness, a force, an impersonal energy. So within the Bible, that is not the God that we embrace. The God of the Bible is a personal God, approachable, within the three persons of Jesus Christ the Spirit and God the Father. And it isn't a cosmic force. It isn't something that we can sort of manipulate a presence with, if you will. It's not something we can conjure and manipulate. And within Hinduism, the idea of body, mind, and spirit is that we are all one. So your body and anything physical is connected to the spiritual. So all the positions of yoga are both spiritual worshipping of deity plus the mind, spirit, soul also combined in that. Now, this is not a biblical position, and yet we've got Christian yoga in the churches. So I don't want to get off onto yoga and get away from Christian Palestinianism, but I'm just showing that as an example that we have blended in Hinduism, which is completely opposed to biblical Christianity, and any Hindu would tell you that, and yet we have attempted to combine the two and bring them in. So having said that, we can see that support or lack of support for Israel from the left and a type of anti-Semitism for the right will all blend together and come together, because God told us that this would happen, because Jerusalem is the cup of trembling. Yeah. And that is going to be the epicenter of future problems and world wars. So yes, it's very peculiar, Mike, but as long as we don't look at what God represents as good and what God represents as evil and attempt to blend and merge, then there will be a way that seems right to us. But God's thoughts are above our thoughts. His thinking is above our thinking, and it isn't right.
Yes, and if you're just tuning in, we are talking with our special guest today, Carol Matriciana. She's the producer of those Wide as the Gate DVDs that we highly recommend. There's links on our website, and her newest one is coming out very soon called Christian Palestinianism. And I got a sneak peek yesterday. The preview's not published yet, but Carol shared with me what that's going to look like. Wow, it is going to be one of those must views, and we're going to share that when it is available. But Carol, you talk in your new DVD about a new counterfeit Jerusalem that's prophesied, and we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back from this break. Stick around.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 494-9010 in Green Bay or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment on Q90 FM. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 494-9010 in Green Bay or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
We just want to encourage you again, and the purpose of this show, folks, is to take everything you hear to Scripture. Be a good Berean. And this issue of replacement theology is a real hot topic in the church. So go to your Bible, see what God says about it, particularly study, I think, in Romans. Paul talks about the grafting and everything. So let's be very biblically savvy on this subject.
Absolutely. And if you've got something that you would like to share, please do give us a call in studio. You can talk to our special guest, Carol Matriciano. The number again, 800-979-9010. Let's go to our phone lines now. We've got Ron standing by from Pulaski, Wisconsin. Hey, Ron, welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Good morning, Mike and Amy.
Good morning, Ron.
And Carol. Carol, I was wondering if you're familiar at all with Israel My Glory magazine?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, because in the latest issue, they had some coverage in really interesting article in there on Christian Palestinianism. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on your familiarity with it. I've been getting that magazine for like 22 years, and it's just packed with, you know, sound doctrine. And so if you could give a little bit of an overview on that. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
You mean to give an overview on my position on the magazine Israel My Glory, or
yeah, I think that's what you meant, Carol.
That and just as far as their theology, and if you would walk hand in hand with you know, with all the garbage that's out there, just to stand firm on the understanding of Scripture.
It's very, very confusing, and I think the part of the confusion is that people don't understand that there are two in-gatherings. All that I've read of Israel My Glory, I think that we would go hand in hand with, I mean, certainly the magazine articles that I've read. But the confusion comes in because there are two in-gatherings into Israel. There is one in-gathering in unbelief, which is taking place at the moment. There are hundreds and hundreds of Jews that are in Israel at the moment, do not have a love of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not believe in him. There are agnostics, atheists, secularists, humanists. I lived on a kibbutz for a while, and they're not even Jews. They're not even Orthodox Jews. And on the kibbutz that I was at, they didn't even go along with believing in the Bible or anything to do with Judaism, which is really interesting. It's as diverse as the Christian church. You know, we've got Roman Catholics, we've got Protestants, the Protestants that are involved in Reformed theology, a lot of, I mean, the very basic idea of Reformed theology didn't even truly break away from Roman Catholicism, in the sense that Luther didn't come out of Roman Catholicism, neither did Calvin, who were both the leaders of Lutheranism and Reformed theology. So there are lots of Catholicisms, if you will, and so when somebody calls oneself a Christian, there are just so many denominations and so many doctrines and traditions of men, it gets very, very confusing. And until one realizes that the very core, central, true Christianity is the body of Christ, the small remnant, the members of his body who acknowledge that he is the head, he is the foundation, that his word is literal, his prophecies to come are literal, particularly concerning Israel. So we have this idea that there is going to be an ingathering of Jews in unbelief at initially, but at somewhere there is going to be a horrible tribulation, a 7 years of judgment from God, when Jews that are in Israel will call out his name, because they will see that all nations have turned against them. As Zechariah 12 says, all nations will turn. So we know we're promised in Scripture that all nations will turn against Israel, which means all people, all support will go. And when the Jews that are caught in the 7 years in Jacob's trouble, in the horrible tribulation, will see that God is sparing them, they will call out his name, and he will save them and spare them and set up his kingdom in Zion, in Jerusalem, and rule there for 1,000 years in his perfect government. But at this moment, what's happening is that so many Christian organizations are giving support for Israel in the sense of sending them in or going and supporting. And by the way, I love Israel. I've been there many times. I'm, because I do believe very that the Bible is my central leading. Of course, Christian Zionism is a central core of my belief, but I do understand that the Jews there at the moment are in unbelief, many of them, and that when Christians go there, they don't go to spread the gospel, as Paul said that, you know, we all need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to be preached to the Jew first, then the Gentile. But how many hundreds of Jews, Christians that go on their tours to Israel go with the view of giving out tracts in the streets and helping Jews that are in Israel to understand that they need the Messiah, they need Jesus Christ. That isn't really the central core of most Christian groups that go out there. They go as tourists to be blessed by the Word of God, blessed where Jesus went, blessed by what happens, but not with an evangelistic outreach the same way, let's say, if they go to Africa or India, you know, to preach to the people there. So there is an interesting problem and dilemma, and you know, if I had a loved one, if I had a Jewish loved one, which I mean, I do have Jewish friends, and the question is that would you encourage your loved one to return to Israel now, or would you explain to them that the tribulation is coming, that they need to repent, that if they remain in their unbelief, you know, you'd want them to change from that position, and if they did want to go to Israel, one would hope that they'd go, if they continue in unbelief, that is, that they'd go post-tribulation, pre-millennial, when the ingathering will be the most amazing blessing for the Jews, who will bless the whole world through their changed hearts.
That's a great answer. And you know, we did get an email in, actually it's a Facebook post from Carrie, and I want to touch on this because she wants to know about family lines, and she says, you know, I've recently been advised that my family line has been traced all the way back to Ephraim. What does that make me? Am I part of the remnant? I believe that the Word of God is the only truth. Does location matter? I'm not from Israel. Am I a part of the remnant? What would you say to Carrie?
Well, of course, the remnant in a Bible, there are two types of remnants. There's the Jews that will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at the end. I believe I'm right in saying that. But truly, the remnant is those that today overcome apostate teaching, heresy, that we trust in, cling to, have confident hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're members of his body, that we're led by the head, that we spread the gospel, do what Jesus asked, which is to make disciples and to teach people through discipleship of sound doctrine, bearing in mind that Paul said that false teachers would come out from amongst us. So that means from amongst the church there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that are going to be calling disciples to themselves and to their unsound doctrines. So I think the remnant has nothing, honestly, to do with genealogy or in that sense. Otherwise, we would put our faith, I mean, those of us like me that don't have Jewish genealogy, does that mean that I'm not saved? That I'm, you know, of course not. Our salvation comes from our faith and belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. So, I think the lines have become so blurred and muddy, and a lot of Jews that do have that genealogy don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't want to, don't care about those things. So, no, I don't think location or genealogy by the grace of God, it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation.
No, you're absolutely right, Carol. Our salvation, there's only one name by which we are saved, and that is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, one of the things you touched base on in your new DVD, I found very interesting, Carol. You talk about a counterfeit Jerusalem. Share, that really intrigued me when I saw the tease on that.
Yeah, well, you know, there is, it's extraordinary that we have got, in 1948, after the resurrection of Israel, so to speak, wars immediately broke out. And of course, they continue today. And Jerusalem is the very heart of these wars. Now, Jerusalem has been deemed an international city by the United Nations. I mean, it's incredible that somebody would come in and say this is an international city, especially the United Nations saying that, and that it's a holy city to the Jews, it's a holy city to the Christians, it's a holy city to the Muslims, but it's also at the core of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict because the Muslims believe that that Jerusalem belongs to them. So in order to keep world peace, it's been deemed an international city, and incredibly, no international embassy has built their embassy in Jerusalem. They all have built their embassy in Tel Aviv, which isn't even a capital of it. I mean, the Jews claim that Israel is their capital. So why have all these international embassies built their embassies in Tel Aviv? I mean, it's tantamount to the world deciding that our capital isn't where our capital is, and that they elect Boise, Idaho or something as capital and build all their international embassies there, it would be an outrage. And yet here are the Jews not permitted to have this as their capital. But we are told in the scriptures that there will be a temple built in Jerusalem. So somehow the world has got to come together in this idea of why will there be a Jewish temple built in Jerusalem? What is going to be the sort of paradigm shift to make this come about? Because the Bible tells us that this is going to happen, and Satan is going to use this for his purposes to show off his global leader, the Antichrist, the one that looks like Christ, that the whole world will be deceived by, that the whole world will believe is Christ until in the middle of the, when he sets himself up in the temple and the Jews have their eyes opened and say, oh my goodness, this isn't the Messiah that we thought it was. So this, in a way, is a different Zion that's been placed here, this international Jerusalem that is has become very pro-Palestinian, is very politicized. It's a dilemma, and God says that it will be a cup of trembling. So it's very interesting that this tiny little city in the center of the world has become a cup of trembling.
So true, Carol, and interesting, last 5 or 6 years running, the House of Representatives has passed a resolution to name Jerusalem as the place of the U.S. Embassy there, but it's been rejected by first a Republican president and now a Democratic president. Carol, we've only got about 3 minutes left before we've got to say goodbye, but I know Amy's got one more question.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to kind of wrap this up by saying, you know, Christian Zionism, this is another term you mentioned for interpreting the Bible literally, concerning Israel and prophecy, and yet Zionism, Christian Zionism, can also be twisted into movements that go overboard. And so I just want to acknowledge, and very briefly, if you could just acknowledge that there is a fine balance. What is that fine balance as we close out this program?
Well, Amy, that really is a good question, and something that we do address in our 90-minute, actually over 100-minute Christian-Palestinian DVD. There's three parts. The part that you saw was just the first part of it, but we do go into that and show that, yes, there is a fine balance, and we have to realize that it's prophecy future that, is going to be the capital. Zion is going to be the capital from where Jesus reigns. And at the moment, it's just a sort of crazy place, if you will, in the sense of political Jerusalem, to bring people hopefully to their knees, to bring them to repentance, to see that this is a complex situation. But of course we love our Christian Arab brothers and sisters. Of course we love, you know, Christians anywhere that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to get back to the Bible and not use all of this in sort of warmongering, if you will, which will ultimately bring in fractions, which will ultimately cry out for a world leader to come and bring peace, and the false leader will come in to it all very comfortably, because that's what the conditioning is at the moment.
You know, it is the interesting times that we live in now, and as we watch all of this unfold, Carol, we just really appreciate you being that watchman on the wall, watchwoman on the wall, who is really helping with your materials and helping educate people on these important topics. And your video, your new video, will be hopefully released in a few weeks. Is that right?
Well, we hope so. With no more technical glitches, that's what we've. That's our hope. Yes. If listeners can just come to our webpage or yours, and we will keep everybody updated with the production, with the release, the actual release date.
We appreciate it, Carol. I'll tell you one thing: you cannot say these days that life as a Christian is boring, because it's certainly not. Carol Matriciana, thank you so much for joining us. We eagerly await the distribution of your DVD and look forward to talking to you again real soon, sis.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Amy. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you, Carol. Always interesting. And again, folks, we always want to point you back to Scripture, particularly on an issue that is so divisive as replacement theology. Particularly study what Paul talks about, and I think Romans 13, 14, and 15. Hey, Amy, when we come back, I have three emails that have come in the last couple days from Marie, from Sandra, and Amber that I want to address, because they make some very good points. So let's get into those when we come back.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 494-9010 in Green Bay, or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment on Q90 FM. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupwiththetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
You know, Amy, we so appreciate when we hear feedback from our listeners, even if they disagree with us. And again, the importance of this show, folks, is I hope you don't agree with everything we say. We want you to get to God's Word, because don't hold my opinion of, or, you know, let's not look at opinions. Let's hold everything to what God says is facts. And we got an email from a lady by the name of Marie. I want to read it, and I want to respond. Thank you for your show. I listen to your podcast from Texas, and I have a comment on your show about house churches. Not every pastor that has studied at Fuller Seminary is a liberal. Case in point, she mentions James R. White, who is one of the most biblical pastors I know. He stands for the truth and does not compromise. It would be nice if you could rectify your blanket statement about Fuller's graduates. I understand it is very liberal seminary, but some who have attended do keep the faith. And I responded back to Marie this morning and said, Marie, thank you for your rebuke and love. And I will absolutely clarify, and I want to do that. Yes, much of what is being taught at Fuller Theological Seminary today is very dangerous. It is often being taught there, and we've heard from very reputable people who graduated from there, that the Word of God is no longer being taught as inerrant.
Yes.
But I'm sure there are hundreds of pastors and leaders who have graduated from Fuller throughout the years that are very sound biblically. So I thank you, Marie, for giving me an opportunity to clarify that.
We don't want to make blanket statements about any one movement or one, you know, we want to make sure that you're talking about the issues and not painting everything with one brush. So very good email.
Absolutely. And sometimes we get live here on the radio and shots fire, but Marie, thank you so much for sharing that. I want to go next to an email from Amber. And Amy, I'm going to tee it up a little bit and let you respond. She said, I came across your radio show and website after hearing Mike on Take a Stand with Eric Barger. I enjoy your show and find both of you to be kind and considerate as you warn the church about false teaching. She goes on to say, however, she saw a blog posted in a resource center that was really slamming people who were not Calvinists.
I think it was, who are not Calvinists.
Who are not Calvinists. And let's talk a little bit about our resource center, just so people understand what we do there, Amy.
Yeah, over on our website, under the resources tab, we've gathered a bunch of different discernment ministries, and these are great places to start researching some of these critical issues and movements that are coming into Christianity, and, you know, because we can't cover everything, and we do talk with a lot of these leaders, and you know, you'll see Carol Matriciana, for instance, she's on there. A lot of them, and I will say that within discernment ministries, there are disagreements over certain things, and so these guys don't all agree with each other. But they've done some very important work in discernment, in making sure that they're looking at some false teachings that have crept in, and excellent, excellent resources. And what we say right at the top of the page, you know, we don't control, of course, the content of other discernment ministries, nor do they on ours. These are websites that have been very helpful to us as we've begun to seek greater understanding in some of these movements. And so, yeah, you know, whether or not it's Arminianism or Calvinism or Carminianism or whatever it is, you know, those are things that are opposed to each other. That's not our stand. And I think she was asking, what is your stand? No, we don't believe that people who aren't one or the other are doomed to go.
No,
to, of course not.
Not at all.
In fact, we've covered what they are. We've tried to educate people on what both of these movements are. And I will just say, you know, you're not going to find your theology from a blogger. I hope nobody does
no.
that. I hope what they're doing is looking at bloggers as a resource, but going to the Word of God to get truth.
And don't get your theology from Stand Up for the Truth.
Exactly.
Get your theology from the Word of God.
Exactly.
So it was a great comment that she made. And again, we're going to, in our resource center, there's going to be things that are posted on there from other discernment ministries that we may or may not agree with. And again, the importance is not do we agree with the discernment ministry. The importance is we take all things to Scripture and see what God has to say about it. So one more email I want to cover came from Sandy, and she said, I'm concerned about Christianese communication.
My favorite topic.
Oh, yes.
Christianese. Yep.
It is so important to know how you define the words you use and to use prepositions correctly. And she says, it's not just about vocabulary, it's about definition. Prepositions can change the definition, so let's use them appropriately. And here's the example she uses. For example, a Christian might say, Jesus is my Savior means one thing to a born-again Christian and another to a Mormon. Mm. So how we define Jesus and Savior are very different.
True.
Another one she says, very insightful here, I'm praying for you is what Christians will say. While in the Law of Attraction from Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, she says, I'm sending my prayers to you. Yeah, so amen, Sandra, and we are trying on this show, and we often stumble ourselves, to clearly define words. And to me, Amy, the basic word we better clarify right now is when someone says, I'm a Christian. I think, unfortunately, we have to dig deeper. What does that mean, you're a Christian?
Yeah.
And as we've talked about in this show, if you think just believing in God or just believing that Jesus is the Son of God makes you a Christian, that's not true. It is the act, or it is putting your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and making Him Lord and the only Savior of your life.
Yeah.
So let's start to, even with people we meet new and they say, I'm a Christian, tell me what that means. Who is Jesus? What is His role in the end times? So we make sure we're talking about the same Jesus.
It is interesting, and you can do that with close friends. You know, strangers on the street, you might try to take a different approach. I mean, you don't want to, you know, what you want to do is draw people into conversation, not the kind of emergent conversation where anything goes and you don't know what absolute truth is, but just to sharpen each other, because it's fascinating the different beliefs we all have when we think about who God is.
Yeah.
And those definitions. Even Carol today talking about the definition of Zionism, and she had quite a few others, but it's interesting how the enemy will use our definitions and really change things. I know Carol was talking about the definition of evangelicalism mm-hmm. has changed. And I'll just say my own personal opinion, I don't necessarily anymore put myself in the camp of the Christian evangelical just because I know what that means, and I know that it's changed, and it's not changed for the better, unfortunately, in some circles. And I don't want to be that Christian. I guess I call myself, and you've and I have talked about this before, I call myself just a basic Bible believing Berean who's
yeah.
going to look it up when she doesn't know. But you know, it's really important that we define these things.
It's very important, Amy, and just as important or even more important is where are we getting our theology and beliefs from?
Yeah.
If you are strictly getting them from this radio show or from any blogger or teacher out there, you're looking to the wrong person. We must look to God. We must look to His written word, and you must take everything you hear on this show, on every blog post, on every teaching, every sermon from every pastor to God's word, because if if we're teaching something or we have an opinion that differs from God's word, God is always going to be right. Yeah. Man is going to make mistakes.
Yeah, and you know, it is important to do that, and part, that's what discernment really is. It's comparing what people are saying and writing and blogging about and doing at conferences to the written word of God. When we talk about what God says, He has spoken to us. He's spoken to us right in His word, and so we can know that. But boy, the problem I think in around the world is that that lack of biblical knowledge. Knowledge has been made out by some to be a bad thing, you know, but we're not talking about the knowledge that puffs up. We're talking about a basic understanding, being in the Bible, being in the Word, because those words do have power. It's not the pages,
yeah.
It's not the ink, it's the spiritual power of those words that transform.
The scriptures say knowledge puffs up a man, but wisdom and understanding,
yeah,
you know, really draws depth. So, you know, it's not enough just to be able to recite the scripture. We have to understand, we have to have understanding in the scripture and then wisdom on how to apply the scripture. Because as we've talked, Amy, you can grab a scripture out of the Bible, base an entire theology on it, and go down a very dangerous path. So we must do all we can to not only know, but understand and have wisdom in all God has given us, all 66 books that he has dictated through men.
All right. Hey, Carrie got back on her Facebook page. She's the one that we asked the question of Carol before. She says, you know, I know that our salvation isn't based on location. Ha ha. I was just curious.
Yeah.
No, we know that, Carrie. Absolutely.
But it is a fundamental question facing the church, and a very controversial one is, what do we do with this replacement theology dilemma? And, you know, Carol raised the point, the vast majority of Israeli citizens are agnostic or they're lukewarm Jews. And I really, really thought she raised a great point. Are we going to Israel on these vacations to be blessed, or are we doing what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 28:19, to go make disciples in all nations? And interesting, of course, in the book of Acts that she quoted, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So we cannot ignore the Jew, because you know, they believe they're saved because they're descendants of Abraham. When scripture clearly tells us those that are saved are brought to salvation through our faith and trust in Jesus alone.
You know, that is an interesting thing. I guess I never really thought about that before. Why is it kind of weird to go over to Israel? I know I have not been, but it's on my list. But why would it be weird to go and preach the gospel and share and evangelize there? It almost seems, and Carol was sharing with me, that it almost seems like we go over there to just to experience where Jesus walked.
Yeah.
You know?
I think most people do. I mean, I'd love to go there.
I'd love to
see it. You imagine standing at Golgotha or overlooking Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified? I mean, it would be amazing. But again, I wonder, Amy, if it doesn't come back to our self-centeredness as Christians. It's all about me going to Israel and getting blessed, when it should be about me going to Israel and sharing the gospel of salvation with those who do not know the Lord.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
So do we have any other email? I don't see any other emails here to get through. So.
Oh, I can't believe we've run out of time, but... things to talk about? I don't think so. I do just want to emphasize again, as we move forward here, do not take your theology from this radio show. I cannot express that strongly enough. Amy and I are like you. We are students. We are studying God's word. We are praying daily together and individually for God's wisdom and understanding. So take everything we say, and of course everything our guests say, to the word of God. It just always amazes me that the Bereans took what Paul taught and said, we'll get back to you. We're going to check the scriptures. We need to do that these
and
days.
And Paul said that they were
more noble.
More noble than anybody else. He respected that.
Yeah.
So he didn't say, oh.
If a teacher or a blogger is afraid of rebukement or gets thin-skinned and angry, that's a real danger sign, because that leads me to believe that blogger or that radio host has elevated himself to a position of authority that he shouldn't be in.
You know, and unfortunately, and we don't want to ever accuse anybody of this, but there are some who you have to wonder about narcissism, and you see it everywhere, and I think our society, especially in the West here, breeds that. You know,
yeah.
we're so special, and we do tend to do that in our you know. our growth, we puff ourselves up and we say, well, I'm the authority now. You know, and I think human beings feed on that.
Yeah. And if you ever hear us going down that path,
oh, yeah,
call us, rebuke us, and because we truly are here to serve God and to help point you to the scriptures, because that is what it's all about.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we've got a really interesting program for you tomorrow, and we'll wrap up this program. We'll be right back.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment on Q90 FM. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the show, but the discussion is just beginning. More info on today's topics and much more can be found on standupforthetruth.com. Now, here's Amy Spreeman with some final thoughts.
You know, Mike, the reason I said that tomorrow's show is going to be so fascinating is that it's even going to surprise us.
You know, we have no clue what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Dave wagers on. Dave pops in usually an hour before the show. I say, Dave, what's God been putting on your heart? He says this. He says, Amy and Mike, what's God been putting on your heart? We say this, and we say, let's go with it. So we have no clue what
and
we're going to talk about.
Incredible shows. His, if you've never heard Dave wager and you're new to our program, tune in tomorrow at 9 CST and just take a listen to what Dave has to say.
So how's this for radio professionalism? I can't even tell you what we're going to talk about tomorrow, but I can tell you it's going to be based on God's word, and it's going to be a very interesting discussion of issues and challenges we face as the bride of Christ.
And we certainly do face many, many challenges as Christians. Like Mike said, it's never boring, and we never run out of things to talk about.
We do not. And we're going to continue to point you to God's word. We're going to continue to share opinions of opinions of our guests. And we ask you to be good Bereans, because the Lord gave us his word for such a time as this, that confusion and chaos would not reign, but that clarity would reign, so we, his remnant, can be protected when things get very, very dicey. How's that? That almost sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I think you do.
We're getting slap happy. It must be all the snow. I'm Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Thank you so much for standing with us this hour. We will talk to you online, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Be very blessed today, folks, and remember to thank God for all he has given us. Be bold and strong, for he is always with you. Mm-hmm.